I was recently watching a movie about the old West days, right? After the Civil War, and it was about people moving west and settling in the West and life back then. And it was the story of a woman who came from England, and she came with all of her stuff, you know, her fancy dresses, her dishes, and everything, and she came to go out into the Wild West. And she was driving along in her carriage and had all this suitcases and all of her things, and she ran into an Indian. And the Indian was taken aback by all the stuff that she had. And he said, you know, he was shocked and said to her, you know, what is all this? And she says, well, I need all that. I need all that. And the Indian replied, all that you need in life is what you can pack on a horse. I'd like to rephrase it a little bit. All you need in life is what you can pack into a two-door Honda Accord. Most of you know of Linda, our dilemma that we had in moving and not the house not being available. And in the last five days, we've lived in three different places in 5 days. And I've learned that everything I need is in my car. I have a tub with my theology books and my Bibles in it. I have my clergy shirts, my toothbrush and toiletries, my electronic devices and their chargers, some water, clean underwear, and most of all, the dog's treats. Right? Those are the essentials. Now, you know how hard it is to keep track of things when you move, and they say that what people who are moving most of the time, what they lose and what they spend time looking for are their wallets, their car keys, which I can vouch for that. I spent about an hour last night before I went to bed looking for those. Their toiletries, their chargers, their mail, their medicine, and get this, one of the top things people lose when they're moving, their pets. Their pets. You get so busy that you lose your pet, and I think Linda can testify to it. At one point, she moved here from Alaska and lost a cat in the Seattle airport? An airport. Her cat got loose in the airport on her way here. So I think he was recovered, but this Advent, we're talking about recovering things that are lost or misplaced. Last week, we talked about hope, and that many of us, at times or even now, have misplaced our hope, lost our hope. Disappointment, loss of our expectations, things happen in life, and we realize that Advent, one of the messages of Advent is the message of hope, that our hope is not in anything else, it's not in money or things or governments. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ, and it will not be easy. Hope is not based on circumstances. We talked about Abraham and that unique verse in Romans, I believe chapter 4, where it says that Abraham hoped against hope. Interesting term, isn't it? To hope when everything is against hope. Here was a man 100 years old and he was told that he would have many children and still nothing. Everything rational says that it can't happen. And yet it says he still had hope. Our hope is in God. Our hope is unshakable. This is the Sunday of peace, and peace, like hope, can be lost. We can lose it. We can misplace it. Oh, sure, there's peace in the world. There's peace around us, maybe, and there's not fighting, and maybe the things in our environment are not very much at war, but it's still inside of us, in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, our peace can be misplaced. Certainly the concept of peace in the world has been lost and was lost a long time ago, right? We know what happened in the Garden of Eden. And since then, the world has not had peace. It's been a very long time, but since then, there are always wars, always fighting, always somewhere some type of war is going on. Now, sure, poets will write about peace, and artists will paint about peace, and musicians will sing about peace, right? We all have probably heard at some point John Lennon's famous song, Imagine. It's been one of the top-selling, top-recorded songs. Over 200 people have sung that song or recorded it. It talks about a world of peace. Imagine this, imagine that, imagine us all living together. Politicians will promise peace. How many politicians have said that they are going to, and I don't want to hear the phrase again, but they say, I'm going to reach across the aisle. We're all going to work together, right? We hear it all the time. They promise us peace. But they know it will not happen. It cannot happen. Friday night, we received a text from Linda's niece. Her niece works for the defense contractor, Northrop Grumman. Maybe you've heard of him, one of our top defense contractors. And she was on a team of people that rolled out their latest project, what they've been working on in Palmdale, California, Friday night. I guess it was a big deal. It's called the B-21 Raider Stealth Bomber. And the big rollout was Friday night, and she was there and sent us a text and was telling us about it because she was working on this. It's very impressive. You know, it's stealth. It's almost totally undetectable. People can't even see it or know that it's there. It's nuclear capable. They said this about it. The bomber will be able to defend our country with new weapons that haven't even been invented yet. And all of this at the very, very reasonable price of $750 million a plane. Now, are they really thinking there's going to be world peace? Is that what they're planning on? Is that what they think is going to happen? That there's going to be world peace? I don't think so. Peace in the world has been lost. It's been misplaced and will only be reclaimed with the coming of the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. That's who Isaiah called him. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. The Prince of Peace. And Isaiah gives us a snapshot of what his reign will be like, what his kingdom will be like. Creation will be put back the way that it was, the way that it's supposed to be. The wolf and the lamb will lay down together. The leopard and the goat will lie down together. The lion will become a vegetarian, Isaiah says. The lion, a vegetarian. Creation and humanity will live in harmony, as they did from the beginning. The child will play near the den of the cobra. Paul in Romans 8 tells us that all of creation, the animals, the natural creation, even the plants and the trees, all of creation waits in eager expectation for this day, for this peace to come. Creation among themselves and with humanity. There will be no corruption in government. There will be no bribes. There will be no backroom deals. There will be no innocent people going to prison and guilty people rising to the top. All of that will cease. The Prince of Peace is going to bring that. But that's not the only peace that people have lost or misplaced. Tony Hsieh was known as the happiness guru. He wanted to promote happiness and world peace. He took over a company you may remember called Zappos, and shortly after it was formed, and was very successful. And in 2009, he sold it to Amazon for $1.2 billion. From there, Tony Hsieh began to write books. One of his books was Delivering Happiness. And he had seminars all over the world about happiness and workplace peace and happiness and how companies can have this, and corporations, and people would flock to his seminars. In August of 2020, he moved to Park City, Utah. And there he started to build a community to attract wealthy people, artists, intellectuals, and he sought to create a utopia. And his idea was that this city in Utah would be a blueprint that could be applied to other cities all around the world. And there would be world peace and happiness. But what few people knew that was that behind all of his success, there was huge suffering, anxiety, autism, alcoholism. He had a breakdown from drug use. He had a very peculiar sense of fascination with fire. He would, you know, play with it and have candles just sitting on his bed unprotected. And they said he had a ring of fire that he would keep in his room, and there was no kind of just free-flowing. A very weird sense of fascination with fire. And in November of 2020, just a few months after his plan to build a utopia, in November of 2020, he died from injuries sustained in a fire that was probably alcohol drug fueled. You see, the reason there is no peace in the world is because of the human heart. It's because of individuals who are not at peace with their Creator. Romans 8 tells us, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, human beings on their own, who we are as we come into this world, we cannot please. We are come naturally, as beautiful as those little babies are, okay? As beautiful as they are, naturally, we are combatants with God. We are enemies with our Creator because of our sin. And there cannot be peace. But the Prince of Peace has come. Jesus has come to change that. With his death and resurrection, offers forgiveness, redemption, a clean slate, a peace of the soul, of the mind, of the heart. Micah prophesied about the coming Savior, and Micah said, He is our peace. Maybe you've lost your peace this time of the year. He is our hope, and He is our peace. The Collins English Dictionary has revealed its word of the year of 2022. The word is permacrisis. Permacrisis. I'm looking at our English professor, and I don't think she's heard it either. Permacrisis. And it means this: an extended period of instability and insecurity, especially one resulting from a series of catastrophic events. They said this, that because of what's happened in the last several years, because of COVID and the war in Ukraine and climate change and political unrest and surging inflation, people are wondering what new horrors might be lurking around the corner. Have you misplaced your peace? The peace that Christ brings, it's not an absence of trouble, not an absence of turmoil. The world will always know that. But it's the presence of God.